Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about the Philippines, Israel and Gaza.
در قضیه فلسطین اون چی که جلو چشم همه دنیاست جنایت نسل کشی رژیم قاسم این همه دنیا دارن مشاهده میکنه.
السلام علیکم. Welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are here in the studio talking about the Philippines, Israel and Gaza. In order to talk a little bit about these three, we decided to humbly invite Sheikh Muhammad Ali Hussain from the Philippines. We're going to go ahead and invite him and start the talk show. Sheikh Muhammad Ali Hussain, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And thank you for this great invitation, this opportunity.
Jazakallah, thank you for coming to the talk show. You know, we have seen in recent times this onslaught by the Zionist Israeli regime upon the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. We continue to see this again, this murder and this killing and this oppression, really beyond imagination. Yeah. What is happening, perhaps in history we haven't seen such things. For example, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, mm-hmm. in a recent speech, he said that we have seen within 3 weeks at least 4,000 children dying. So this is statistics which have not been seen in the history of humanity. So we wanted to talk a little bit about this. Of mm-hmm. course, with your background from the Philippines, we also wanted to make some connections between the Philippines and Israel and Gaza. Mm-hmm. And so first and foremost, you know, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Hussain, we'd like to get your reaction on everything that's been going on post October 7, 2023, in the name of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Said for me, what is happening now, really, for me, it was shocking.
Right.
And actually, it's not new.
Sure.
It's not new, actually, what is happening now, Gaza and Israel. What really we need to do now is to look at the previous events that happens before this October 7.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, some of the commented or some of the analysts, they said that, and even the Israeli claim that we should condemn Hamas and we should call them terrorists.
Right.
Why? Because they attacked us without any warning.
Yeah.
So some of this media, they picture that the Hamas are terrorists.
Mm.
Now, for me, when we look at the background, as what I said,
sure,
we will see that Hamas actually did not attack anything, or we don't have any right to call them a terrorist. Why? You know, I think there's in UN, there's a rule that they say that everyone has a right to defend their homeland.
Yes, everybody.
Now, yeah, what is happening now in Gaza is defending their rights, defending their homelands.
Yes.
So if we look at this constitution in UN,
yeah,
we will see that Hamas, they have the full right to do that, to defend them,
yes,
to defend their homeland.
Mm.
It's been 70 years of aggression against Palestinian people, against Palestine, especially Gaza.
Yes, by the Israeli
regime, Zionist.
Yeah.
So it's a right to defend their rights. So we cannot call them as a terrorist. Instead, we should call them as a hero.
Right.
Yeah.
Freedom fighters.
Everyone. Like, for example, you know, Imam Khamenei, hafidhahullah ta'ala alayhi, he tweeted very interesting. He said that, how come that when the war of Germany and Germany attacked French, if I'm not mistaken, you call them hero?
Yeah.
Why? Because they defend their homeland.
The French defended their homeland.
Yeah. And now, when it comes to Palestinian people, when it comes to Hamas, you call them terrorists.
Mm.
So what's the difference between them?
Mm.
So it's really a good question. For me, we should tell to everyone that Hamas are not terrorists.
Right.
They are just defending their homeland.
Right.
They are fighting for their freedom.
Mm.
This is what I've said for me. It's my personal opinion
as
a scholar from Philippines,
right,
that
right.
we should widely open the our mind, our state of mind, to study carefully what is happening now in Gaza. We should not be biased. We should not say, we should not think that since we are Jew, since we are Christian, since we are ally of this country, we should say that no, Hamas is a terrorist. We should finish all the so on and so forth. So for me, we should Hamas. They are legitimate to defend their homeland, and actually, they are actually legitimate. Because they were voted, if I'm not mistaken.
They were democratically elected.
Yeah, democratically elected. So they have the right to defend themselves. Right?
What's interesting here, I think one of the points that you brought up was this idea that it is shocking because the violence that the Zionist regime has done, they have really gone above and beyond what they've done in the past. But it's something that has been recurring. Slow but steady, right, over the last 70 years. And this is a natural reaction of Palestinians or people, whom their land was taken away from them. It's interesting. So the Native Americans in the United States of America, they reacted the same way when the Anglo-Saxon settlers came and started taking more and more land. Then you'd have more and more fights breaking out between the Native Americans and the Saxon, non-Native Americans, right?
Yeah.
The only difference was that the Native Americans, they had spears and arrows, and the other guy had guns, so it was easier to kill them all.
Yeah.
This is what's happening here, on a very smaller scale.
Really. So inshallah, really we should, we should tell to
the world.
The entire community, either Muslims, non-Muslims, we should tell them that, just try to think.
Sure.
Yeah, try to think what is really happening in this conflict between Israel and Hamas.
I agree. I think this is another very important point that I wanted to bring up about what you were saying, and that's this idea that, no matter where we're from or our ethnic background or our religious affiliation or these kind of things, we should look at what's happening in an unbiased manner. Look at the facts on the ground. Look at what's happening. Look at the last 70 years. Look at post-October 7th, right? So if a few, Israeli settlers were killed, let's say 1,400, we're well over 11,000 Palestinians being killed, So it's like, isn't
that
enough?
Actually,
It's like, why you should have just stopped at 1,000 Palestinians killed. It's like, okay, now we're even. But it's like they're just destroying the whole country. And people should really, in an unbiased manner, go out there, search for the truth, and then make a decision. So, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Hussain, right? There's another really interesting thing after your initial, reactions. And I was doing some, very preliminary research about the relationship between Israel and the Philippines. And apparently there is some sort of relationship between the Filipino government and Israel. I wanted you to just talk a little bit about that, the relationship between the Philippines and Israel.
The relationship between Israel and Philippines go back to the time of Holocaust, actually.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. You know, in the time of Holocaust, no one is accepting Jews. No, even the Americans, even the European, they are not accepting the Jews to go to their countries. Yeah.
If I want to really, because this is something that a lot of people don't know, the American Jewish community, when it was requested from them that this, killing of Jews is happening in Germany, the German Jews requested that, they be given safe haven
America,
but they rejected. They said that, no, we will not allow you guys to come in.
It's amazing.
It's really amazing. So I just wanted to put that out there. Please continue. Yeah.
Then that's why what we have said is that in that time, the American government talks with the current president of that time, the Manuel L. Quezon, the president of the Philippines in that time. He talked with them regarding the giving heaven of these Jews. Then in 1938, if not mistaken, 1984, the Philippine government issued 100,000 visa or 10,000 visas for the Jews. Those who want to come to the Philippines, they can go easily. They will grant them
safe haven,
safe visa, shelter,
political asylum, and these things.
Then after a year, Jews came, but just around 1,200, 1,300. And the president of that time, they give them a very good place, which is now in Marikina. Marikina City, one of the cities in Philippines. They give them, he gave them that place to settle, to live with it. And up to the, I think, up to the colonization of Japan. Because, you know, Japan also, Philippines also colonized by Japan. But I think it's years. This is the first relations where it means that the first country who accepted Jew that during that time is only Philippines, from what I've said, what I know.
It's interesting. I just, because there's so many different parallels here.
Yeah.
You know, so for example, before the state of Israel, during the Ottoman Empire, which, you know, was a, it was a Muslim empire for all intents and purposes. Right, it was a Muslim empire, the Ottoman Empire, and Palestine was under the control of the Muslims. Right, the Jewish people lived very comfortably. They had businesses. They had wealth.
They can do everything.
They had equal rights. You know what I mean? And it seems like sometimes they have forgotten the favors that the world has done to them. Continue. So they gave them a place in the Philippines.
Then after that, this is the first. The thing that the relationship became strong. The second one is that when the UN, UN give a resolution about separation, they call it resolution of separation between Jews and Arabs. Then UN, they voted actually who will agreed to have a separation between this Jews and
partition
between Israel and Jews and the Arabs. And interestingly, there Israel got 33 votes from different countries, and one of them was Philippines.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the only Asian country who voted Israel was Philippines. So it means that this Israeli this Israeli government, they had they
indebted
of the Philippines government during that time, and actually until now yearly they had they commemorate what happened, how the Philippines government accepted Jews. They commemorate every year to the extent that in Israel, the Israel now, they made a monument for the late President Manuel El Quezon. They called it the Open Door Monuments. It's very famous.
Interesting.
Yeah, Open Door. It means that Philippines opened
their doors
for them, for welcoming them.
Can I ask something here, Sheikh, Sheikh Mohammed Ali Hussain? Right here, well, I'll leave it up to you to see what, you know, what your answer is. But here, this kind of very staunch support of Israel by the Philippines. Do you think that perhaps it has something to do with the amount of American political and economic influence that was upon the Philippines?
Of course.
Jalib,
100%. You know, actually, Philippines actually was colonized also by American. After, you know, there is a war between Japan and the American. I think it's World War II, maybe.
It's probably World War II, yeah. Because it was America, Britain, France.
Yeah.
And on the other side, you had Japan actually, and Russia.
Philippines were colonized also by America. Until now, actually, Philippines, they say that we are free, we are democratic, we do not colonize everywhere. But in reality, Philippines actually is under the
influence
of American, actually. Maybe it's a thing, because I told you, the American government that time talked with Philippine government to accept Jews. So maybe it was influenced by the American government. Maybe.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Okay, well, you were talking about the relationship between Israel and the Filipino government.
Yeah. Then to the extent also that now, when the last 2017, if I'm not mistaken, there was a civil, I don't think, a civil war in Philippines, maybe. Government against Daesh, ISIS, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Philippine government has lack of weapons. Yeah. They don't have enough weapons. Sure. What did they do? They ask Israel. And really, Israel give them many
weapons.
And until now, if I'm not mistaken, there's a Philippine National Police of Philippine National Police Unit SAF, Special Action Force. They said that our weapons actually are from Israel. So everything that we had now is from Israel. So Israel really also support and also have a strong relation with the Philippine government. And actually the previous, well, no, actually it's not, one of the previous president, his wife was a Jew also.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So these are pretty strong relations
and actually
between the two governments.
I don't know. I don't know exactly. The current vice president also a Jew because they said their daughter. The previous president, and the current vice president maybe also a Jew or because his her mother is a Jew.
It was Jewish.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you here. So now that we kind of have this general understanding that, you know, the Filipino government and the Israeli government have these strong relations with one another, and we can also see the hand of the United States of America in bringing these two people together, right? Do the common Filipino masses feel the same way? I mean, what did they think about this relationship of the Philippines with Israel? Is it the same or is it different? I mean,
Actually, Philippines, most of them are Christians.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's just 20% are Muslims, some 80%
Catholic Christians.
Yeah, Catholic Christian. Then, of course, Catholic Christians are pro-government, actually. Although Muslims are pro-government.
Yeah.
But Catholic Christians are more pro-government because presidents also from the Catholic community.
Because they're the majority.
Yeah. So they supported the they also support the government. And also, people, Christians people, actually, they, one of the things that they do is to go to Israel and to work.
So, okay,
yeah, they are working also in Israel.
Mm.
So the ordinary Christians, in that view, they used to love or they used to support the Israeli regime.
Historically.
Yeah, and even until now, some Christians in Philippines, they show their support for, to Israel. And I know there's a UK ambassador of Philippines. He posted a tweet, something very unusual post. He said that maybe the madhum, the text is that it's as if he wants to, he requests Israel to kill every Palestinian, even the child. And it's really amazing.
It's really shocking.
Shocking.
Let me ask you one more thing here, right? And that's, so after October 7th, and you've seen this very, I mean, heavy-handed is a light word. I mean, they're just massacring, genociding the Palestinians since October the 7th. Have you seen that in the Philippines, even these Christians are now moving towards a more pro-Palestine, pro-Gaza stance? I'm not talking about the past, you know, the last 70 years so, but after October the 7th, because over the world, we've seen that there's been this huge
rallies.
Huge shift in public opinion away from Israel and in support of the Palestinians.
Yeah.
Do you see the same kind of thing with the Christians in the Philippines?
So unfortunately, no.
Yeah,
actually.
Wow.
But Filipino Muslims also show their support for the Palestinian people, actually.
Right, right.
They had three rallies already from different cities, from city of Cotabato, from the city of Marawi city, and the other cities. Actually, they held a rally, they gathered lot of people also.
Both Sunnis and Shia Muslims,
Muslims,
right?
Yeah. And to show support the Palestinian people. And actually, these people actually, they post a lot, Muslims, they post a lot about the Palestinian. And they, when, for example, some Christian brother post about against Palestinian, they also respond through Facebook or through anything. So, unfortunately, from our Christian brother, we did not see any big reaction
it's
shifting towards the sympathy.
It's probably a lack of awareness. And so, you know, because the government has such strong
relations,
then the Christian majority is also in the government. It kind of makes sense for them to kind of take a... and this is what you had said earlier in the beginning of the talk show, was that, listen, no matter where you're from, what your religious affiliation is, you know, what your political party is, look at the facts on the ground and, you know, you will see what the truth is. So I think a very, you know, strong hint or a very strong... direction that you have given to the brothers and sisters all across the world. You know, Sheikh, I wanted to ask you one more thing, and that is the relationship of the Filipino Muslims, or perhaps even the Filipinos in general, with that of Gaza. Do you see a relationship, do you see a parallel between these two? And I'm talking about parallels other than the mere fact that, you know, there's Filipino Muslims and there's Palestinian Muslims. Yeah. But do you see something that is more deeper and profound than that?
Actually, as a whole, say, government, Philippines, and actually, it amazes me why they are not supporting Palestine, since actually there's a commonality between Philippines and the Palestine.
Right.
You know, Philippines now is under the... Actually, not under, they are under the pressure of China. You know, there's an island in West Asia.
East Asia, maybe.
East Asia, maybe. It's a water island there. It was originally from Philippines. But the China...
From South China Sea, so, and those areas.
Yeah. But China claiming that's their own island. So until now, China's always go to that place... And what you call this, removed all the Philippines Coast Guard. They are threatening Philippine Coast Guard that if you do not go from here, we will shoot out of you this. So maybe it's a common factor from between Palestine and the Philippines, you know, because they are aggressed by some...
Foreign power.
This for the generals in the Philippines.
Even though, I'm sorry, I just kind of, this is kind of an interesting point, you know. So Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, he had a very eloquent his basira and his iman and his spirituality and irfan and his knowledge, it was to such an extent where the things that he said, you know, he could almost like predict the future in a lot of these things. So his slogan of neither east nor west, right, is not that, you know, we need to protect ourselves from both sides. Islam is the best. Islam is the only, you know, practical, real model that can be implemented and humanity can attain salvation, right?
Yeah.
This kind of a very, you know, telling forewarning from you that, listen, we have China. They have come to islands which were traditionally part of the Philippines. They're taking it over and they're kicking out the Filipinos. So just kind of a warning to people out there that, listen, don't, you know, because in recent times we've seen that China and Russia have begun to support Palestine like they have never done before, right?
Yeah.
They never were this vocal about Palestine. They were never this against Israel. But now you see them posing against the United States of America, and now... You know, all the... anyways, I just wanted to take that warning and be out there. Yeah, please.
Then after that, it's for the Philippines, actually. And it's for the Muslims.
Yeah.
Which really, it's they have a big commonalities between these most Filipino Muslims and Palestinian people.
Yeah.
You know, since, I think, 40 years ago, I don't know, or maybe more than 40 years ago, Spaniard actually.
Yeah, the Spanish.
Spanish. They colonized Philippines, right?
Mm. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Then they tried to colonize also the Muslim areas. Mm. We call it Mindanao.
Mm. Mindanao, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Now, Muslims, they try to resist. Mm. They try to fight against this Spaniard colonization. Mm. So they, I think, we by that, they were not able, Spaniards, they were not able to
colonize
the Mindanao, actually. It was Luzon and Visayas actually was colonized by, colonized by Spaniard. But Mindanao, which is mostly Filipinos living there, they were not able to colonize because Filipinos, they fight, they struggle also, they resist. Yeah. This during the Spaniard. Then
this is, I'm sorry, I interrupted
you.
Yeah. This is probably where your Catholic Christianity
came
in to the islands, right?
Yeah.
Was by the Spanish colonization. They did this in Latin America, they did this in South America as well. And a lot of times they spread Christianity by the sword, to be honest with you.
Actually, really, by force. What I have heard is that when they saw someone, and asked them, you don't want to accept Christianity? You say no, they will
behead you.
It's reality actually what happened. Then
after the Spanish.
The Spanish, the government, the Marcos government, they want actually to also push or the what you call this push the Filipino Muslims to the extent that they will, for example, leave or another. So what happened is that Filipino Muslims, they agreed that we should also have a group of resistance.
A resistance movement.
Movement against Philippines government. That's why we had the MNLF. This is the oldest movement. Resistance movement in Philippines as MNLF, Moro National Liberation Front. And actually, what I've heard is that even Iran, I don't think it's truly, even Iran, they supported MNLF. And actually, during that time, when the President Marcos really fought against the Muslims, Arabian countries, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, they impose a sanction to Philippines. They
said
to protect the Muslims. So they will not, we will not sell you any gas or any fuel, anything, because you're not stopping killing
Muslims. Filipino
Muslims. Yeah, and until now, actually, although somehow we are in peace, we are in the peace treaty with the Philippine government, but still, any moment, any time, maybe there will be a war between the MNLF or Philippine government. Maybe. So this is a very common alliance between the Palestinian
Israel
people and the Filipino Muslims.
Yeah, this oppression and colonization, and this resistance. These are these common themes that you see both. So you do feel a very strong connection apart from a Muslims, but as Filipinos, people who have been colonized, who have been oppressed, who have seen this imperial boot upon their neck. It's really interesting. Sheikh Muhammad Ali Hussain, I know you were in a rush, you had to leave, get to your next appointment. I wanted to ask you one last question, and that is that, what should we do? Like, we've seen this onslaught by the Israeli regime, we've seen the murders of children and women, and for well over 3 weeks now, and it's to a point where, what do you think we should do?
I think as of now, because, I don't know if it's good to say it. As of now, it's not good to say that we need to help Palestinian people by arms. Actually, it's not really suitable. It's not good, actually.
At the current moment.
At the current moment, But as of now, what we can do is to, what I've said is that to spread the real information about Gaza, about the Palestinian, and about the colonization of this of the Israeli regime.
Right.
And how to do this? For me, the best tools to do this is social media.
Right.
Yeah, so actually now, social media is full of lies.
It's full of lies, yeah.
Especially the media in from West, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah? And we need to do what you call this. We need to do something also. We need to do actually to fight also their accusation against Palestinian or anything. So the best thing that we can do now is to use social media as a main tools for spreading the truth, spreading the reality, what is happening in Gaza and in, and also Israel, and also it's somehow it's not actually it's a religious responsibility to do this. You know, there's a hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He said that kunu lil zalimin khasma walil madhlumana walil madhlum auna. It's a very good hadith. You know, Imam Ali alayhi salam did not say that kunu lil muslimin auna. No, he gave a general title. Why? So we should not think that you are Muslims, you are Christian, or you are Jews or anything. No, if as long as you are called as or you consider as a zalim, or madlum, your responsibility is to help all the oppressed people. So this Imam Ali alayhi salam said that you should help all the oppressed people, not just Muslims. But also we should do against the tyrant people. We should against also the zalim.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And now, for me, the great misdaad of zalim are the Israeli regime. Or we call them Zionists, you know.
Yeah.
Much better we call them Zionists. Yeah? According to Imam Khomeini and Khomeini, he said that you should term them as a Zionist. So one of the great misdaad now of zalim are Israeli or the Zionist regime and the madlum. No, you cannot find any madlum tar or any oppressed dandy Palestinian people now. So as a religious responsibility, we should do our best to spread the truth. We should help him by any means, not just arm or by any means.
Right.
By thinking, by writing, by posting Twitter, by posting Facebook, anything, social media. So, alhamdulillah, this social media, this Islamic Pulse, right?
Jazakallah.
Yeah, so it's a great, it's a great weapon, actually. It's a great tool to spread the truth.
We request your prayers, inshallah, because they do some serious shadow banning and they do some serious things so that
removing
content.
They're
really trying hard, even though we challenge any of the fair media channels out there. That what we're saying is the truth. What we're saying is unbiased, what we're saying is not against any community guidelines. Sheikh Muhammad Ali Hussain, I want to thank you for joining us on the talk show. Inshallah, we hope that it's not the last talk show that you join us on. We'd also love to have you for one on the Philippines, inshallah, and what the situation is like over there. May Allah bless you and yours until we see you again.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. And jazakallah, dear viewers, for joining us on the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We were talking about the Philippines, Israel, and Gaza. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our Palestinian brothers and sisters, give them victory as soon as possible, and save them from this horrendous oppression that they are facing. Inshallah, that's all from us. Until another talk show, fi amanillah, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.